drill a hole and you know that you're getting into the solid material at 3 feet, you go X number of feet, 2 feet beyond it, depending on, you know, what you're really going through. Does that make sense? So then when it expands in, and then you put the, it can either be a single plate, you'll see little squares like this, or you'll see a Band-Aid with holes in it, and that'll be strapped up to lock that whole wall in. For years and years, it was all timber. And if we have anything that we're looking for that we want to keep for a while, we'll start using steel sets. Because the timber can rot out anywhere from, a year or two some of us in here for years and years. We just came through the cross cut. Question two is about what does it cost per foot of this? And I just roughly came up with a figure of about $200 a foot to drift. Sinking down in a shaft is more expensive, but just roughly, we'll just say $200 a foot.
How many feet per day?
We could drift something like this if everything was set up properly. Probably between 5 to 6 feet a day, a ship. And then, as you can imagine, the tramming or the hauling material out is an unknown. And the farther you are inside the mine, of course, the longer the distance. How many trains, how many cars, how many bullets, etc. This is our 800 station. This is the main point of disembarking for going down below. And the hoist is up above, and we'll look down the 49 wind shaft here. But I'll tell you, if we were going to go to work now, we would come in. And the first thing we would do is let the hoist operator know that we are we're on the 800 level. So we would call the skip and we tell him we want to go down. I just set up. So he'd go, like, you idiot, what did you just ring me to do? And I said, oh yeah, that's right. Okay. So I told him that where we were, on the 800 station, and that whoever's here wants to go down. So then we come over and just kind of wrap around here somewhere best you can. You can also see them down over here. So just kind of close in. I'll just get over here. You don't have to come in here if you don't want to. Just around in here. Come on, just get up closer. Any place around. You can see. We're just trying to take shift. Okay, so there's some room around. Okay, so then the hoist is up above, and there's a skip, a four-man skip. So two people would crouch down, and then two would sit like this. The last person in would have this bell signal, and he would tell them that okay, we're going to go to the 1500 station, and what's going to be transporting is miners, not materials. So we're going to tell them people are on board. So I'd do the 1500 station, people on board. So I did 1532. And that tells him he's sitting up there. And then he would lower us right down to the 1500 station. Park it right here, and we would get out. Then the next most important thing is to release the skip. Because the hoist operator will not move that skip until it's released. Because he doesn't know anything. He can't. He can't do it. No. We do have some cameras around different places. There is one right there. He can see the station, but that's the only one we really got. So I gotta go 1, 1, 2, 1. That releases the skip. He already knows that somebody at the 1700 wants to come back up here. So he's already knows that somebody's buzzed for the skip to go down there. So he'll do that back and forth. And this guy will sit up and do that all day long if we're working this section of the mine. This goes down to the 2400 level. And it's called the 49 winds. And it was put in, this was our main working area for 1990, well actually when our lessees were here, 1986, 85 probably to 2002. Then we start working other parts of the mine. Any questions?
Yeah, I just wondered, so this was like pretty major construction between the way you
The question was about the construction of, like, this is the wider, the gauge of the rail that we're walking on is 18. This is a wider gauge. And it is, mining is just really heavy industrial. I mean, that's the way to look at it. And there's rollers, there's a lot of things that, one of my pet concerns about what's happening this day and age in our society is those same guys that taught me and others 35 years ago that knew a lot of the tricks and knew what to do aren't going to be around. And so there's a lot of tricks and a lot of things just that you're, whatever your skills are, whatever you did in your job, you develop skills and you somehow pass those skills on to the next group coming behind you. And I'm a little bit worried about some of our attitudes here that some of those things might not be passed along. We just, California, for example, the schools, the universities no longer have a mining engineering class. We hired the last mining engineer out of Berkeley, and the last graduating class. And so we're not putting much stress or emphasis on this type of construction. If we had a little more discussion on it, people would realize that it's pretty important to our economy that we produce something here in this country. So, it's heavy work, and like I said, the guys either have to like it or not, and there has to be someone monitoring. Don't look at me like I'm going to be here doing it all the time. There's a chain of responsibility like anything, whether you're building a bridge or making a mine. And it's heavy work, you're right. Yep. Oh. So we passed in the lines. You saw the electrical room, 4,100 volts drop in here. We break it down into transformers. We use three-phase 480 power. That's what our pump is right now down there. As we walk through here, we have telephone service. We have mine phones that we have to have at each station, wherever they're working. They have their own mine phone, so they can communicate. The hoist operator is basically the straw boss, so to speak. He can kind of coordinate what's going on in the mine. We also have phone connection that we can call outside on our AT&T line. So if there is a problem, or if I'm in the office or somebody else, or we have to call, if we have a problem that needs some kind of attention, immediately we can get on the phone and start the process going to bring somebody here and do whatever we need to do. So it's pretty neat to have this. You will be back in right at the tighten your hoist, there's a telephone back there. And I think we're going to travel, I should have figured it out, a mile or so or something like that. By the time we get to the back. All right. We're going to go back out around, and then we're going to cross right on the back side of these hoists. The hoists would come up and take the ore or the waste rock, dump it in there, and we have a larger train than you've seen. We can pull about 8 cars. They would come by, load the chute, and take them out. So there's 2 chutes that we'll be walking around. The chutes have been taken out so nobody hits themselves. And then we're going to go around and we're going to start to then get into a little bit of water just for our feet. But you'll notice that the mine will get small for a while. When we get around this turn, and there's no way I can do it, it would just be single file. But we'll rendezvous again. But we're in the old part of the mine, the 1890s part of the mine there for a while. And then we'll get back. You won't see a lot of quartz yet, but you will soon. There's no grand poopa at the end of the trip, so just look around, look up the raises. I'm not in any, you can look up the raises, we'll stop, you can see the difference. You'll see round poles, you'll see mill timber, rock bolts, all these different things. One thing I would ask is just try not to kick any rocks onto the track. The guys hate that when that happens. But if you're just aware of that, and if you do kick one on, don't worry about it. Just maybe try to move it to the center. Because it only really affects, if you look at the wheels on these cars, they have little lips. There's a wheel that runs on the track, and then there's a little lip on the side, so they don't move off the rail. And believe me, they derail them full, and they derail them empty. We've got to put a two-ton crane motor back on the rail. The water's back 700 feet below. And you can see the volume of the water that we're pumping right now. And we can leave those pumps on, like I said, for 2 weeks, and then we can go without no pumps on for 3 weeks. So that's about what we're looking at.